Well, hi there, everybody. This is Pastor AJ coming to you once again from South Granville Church. I hope you and your family are well and that you're having a great summer so far. I want to say thank you for listening and joining us as we kind of work our way through Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Today, we're going to look at the fruit of gentleness, which is the second to last fruit in the list. And then next week, we'll kind of finish up our series with the fruit of self-control. But this is an interesting one for us in America because gentleness is not a high value. It's not something that we hear a lot of people, you know, encouraging us to be. And yet, when you are around somebody who is gentle or humble, you are often refreshed by them. You want to be in their company, and there's something about them that is calming and even soothing, where you say, man, I wish I could be more like that person. I wish I had more of that in my life. So in this list, Paul uses the Greek word proutos, which is translated as gentleness, other times translated as humility or meekness. And the idea is really a sense of self-forgetfulness. It's not being a doormat. And as we've talked about through the series, it's not about, you know, practicing Midwest nice, where we avoid conflict and pretend that everything's okay. But proutos is really about learning to see the other as equally important, if not even more important, seeking ways to meet their needs and to provide service to them. So obviously, this is a fruit that is firmly rooted in Jesus' character. We have seen throughout the series how the things that Paul is calling us to grow in are aspects of Christ's character and his love for us as his people. And the same is true about Jesus. Jesus is often said to be gentle and humble, even though he is God himself, come to inaugurate this whole new kingdom and the redemption plan that God has been working out. Jesus is this great high king, and yet he is gentle. He's a poor rabbi who wanders around with a group of dropout teenagers, and he is frequently responding to people's neediness with patience and kindness and humility. And so when you and I think about gentleness, people in our culture might think of it as weakness, right? You don't want to be gentle. You want to be assertive. You want to let people know what you want and when you want it. You want to be somebody who's accumulating and has greater status and has more and more for yourself. But actually, I think that view of gentleness is incorrect. I think being gentle requires tremendous strength. I think if you want to be gentle, it's going to take all of your fortitude and all of your creativity to respond to somebody the way Jesus would respond to you or to me, especially when there's conflict or disagreement. Those of you who are raising kids probably know this all too well. There might be moments where you feel pushed to the absolute limit. You feel like your kids are just driving you crazy. You've got nothing left in the tank. And in some way, you just kind of lose it. You get angry, you yell, you leave the room, whatever it is that you do when you kind of reach that breaking point. Now, in the moment, that might feel warranted. That might feel deserved. You might feel like your kids need to know who's in charge. But there's always the aftermath, and it's never good, right? You always end up calming down and realizing that you've actually created some new problems or you've made things worse. You have contributed to this cycle of conflict and dysfunction rather than bringing healing and reconciliation. But the times where you have responded to your kids the way that you know you want to, where you've been able to diffuse that argument, where you've been able to soothe a crying toddler, you have taken all of your resources and all of your energy. You have put tremendous strength into displaying gentleness for that child. And I think the same thing is true in all of our relationships. If you have a coworker who's driving you crazy or an employee who's not getting their work done, If you have a sibling who is constantly asking for money, if you have friends or family members who are on very different pages regarding the pandemic and you're having a lot of conflict with them, it might be tempting to just kind of lash out, to give full vent to that anger that you're experiencing. But it takes deep strength. It takes tremendous resources. It takes everything that we have to respond with gentleness and meekness and humility, to be Christ-like in that situation and do the very best that we can to respond to them the way Jesus would respond to us, with grace and mercy. And so as we think about practicing the fruit of gentleness in our lives, I think God is calling us to examine our relationships, as he has throughout this series, and to ask, what is our attitude towards others, especially those who are different or difficult? If you've been following along with us on Sunday mornings, we just read this passage in Matthew where Jesus talks about the sin of anger. And in that passage, he actually equates angry, judgmental speech with the sin of murder. Because in the same way, harming somebody with our words, casting judgment upon them, or cutting them out of our life with a harsh tongue, that is the same as taking a life. It is against God's will and against our calling as his people in the world. You and I are supposed to be bridge builders. We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to demonstrate what Jesus's love looks like in very tangible and practical ways. But we can't do that when we are getting angry, when we are easily flustered and frustrated, when we are using our speech to tear people down rather than building them up. And so think about your relationships with your loved ones, your coworkers, and especially think about those who get under your skin. Maybe you've just been spending a lot of time at home lately and the family is just kind of pushing your buttons. Or maybe there's that person in the office who thinks very differently than you. Or maybe there's that person in your family who you have a history with and you've always struggled to get along with. What does it look like for you to be gentle, to respond to them in a Christ-like way? For many of us, I think it means simply restraining that anger and frustration that we feel. Maybe it means not replying instead of sending a nasty text message. Maybe it means walking away before we lash out during a conversation. Maybe it means working really hard to try and diffuse whatever conflict or disagreement there is in trying to find middle ground. Recently, I read this great article that was all about how we can navigate conflict in the time of pandemic. And the article is called Why Facts Don't Change People's Minds, which is a great title. But the whole thrust of the article is that people are motivated by relationships and by a sense of belonging. And so if I think somebody is way off base about something, I'm probably not going to be able to change their mind, no matter how many graphs I have or how many articles I can cite, because that's not really what the issue is deep down. They have some kind of personal stake in this point of view or in holding this position, and they're afraid of losing their place in the tribe or in this community that they belong to if they would change their mind. If all of my friends or all of my family vote a certain way or think a certain way about an issue, then there's a lot at stake for me to change my mind, even if you're making compelling arguments. And so in the article, they talk about the power of relationship, the power of sitting across the table from somebody, or in the case of COVID-19, maybe sitting across a Zoom screen from somebody. The article is all about how you and I can begin to find common ground and build relationships with people to bring healing and reconciliation through the power of relationship. But in order to see that happen, we have to have a posture of humility and a willingness to be gentle. If somebody disagrees with you and you're writing them off, if you think that they're just dumb or that they are stubborn, you think it's a lost cause, then obviously you're not going to be able to accomplish very much. And it's going to be tempting to just lash out in judgment. But if you are willing to humble yourself and say, I'm probably not 100% right, and this person is probably not 0% right, we have something to teach each other, then you can see that there is value in sitting down with them, listening to them, hopefully trying to persuade them into the truth, but also working to build that sense of connection and build a relationship where they feel like they are known and trusted. Because in doing so, we're going to communicate the most important truth that there is. That no matter what's going on in somebody's life, no matter how right or wrong they might think they are, the most important thing for them to know is that Jesus loves them, that Jesus accepts them as they are, that Jesus wants to have a relationship with them and wants to remake them in his image. If we come across as being very combative, if we are using harsh language, if we are writing people off or judging who's right and who's wrong in a definitive way, then we're not going to be able to communicate that. We won't be able to demonstrate the gospel through our relationships because we have too many walls and there's too many barbs for people to get poked. Ultimately, to be gentle and humble like Jesus, we have to remember that each and every person we interact with is a sinner. That just like us, they are an imperfect, sinful person who needs grace daily. That's true about me. That's true about you. That's true about that guy in your office that you can't stand. It's true about each and every one of your children. And it's true about every person you meet. That each of us are in need of grace daily. And as God's people, as his representatives in the world, part of our calling is to demonstrate this grace to the people who come across our path. And so being gentle does not mean being passive. It doesn't mean that we let people walk all over us, nor does it mean that we never speak up or stand up for ourselves or anybody else. But being gentle means drawing on the Spirit to display incredible power, to be self-controlled, to be humble enough to listen to somebody, to be willing to check our ego and our own desires at the door and instead allow God to speak through us in his way, in his timing, which is often far slower and far less efficient than we would want. And so this week, I encourage you to be thinking about your relationships and what it means to be gentle. Perhaps it's responding more patiently to your children, especially as we get into the kind of the dog days of summer and everybody's ready for school, whatever that's going to look like. Or maybe it's having a conversation with your boss and gently but firmly letting them know that there are certain things that you need from them and that you want to work with them and you want to listen to them, but ultimately you need to stand up for yourself. Maybe it means taking a break from a conversation that's been ongoing with a family member. Maybe you just need to talk about something else other than the pandemic for a while. Or maybe being gentle means cultivating a practice of prayer where you are praying for the people around you even when they drive you crazy. Asking God to be at work in their lives, to bless them and encourage them and reveal the truth of the gospel more and more each day. How is it that you and I can practice gentleness just as Christ was gentle with us? Let's pray together and invite God to continue growing this spirit in our lives as we go through this week. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that in spite of our sin, in spite of all our failures and shortcomings, you have been gentle with us. You are slow to anger, rich in mercy, abounding in love for your people. And so often, Lord, you choose to love us even when we don't deserve it, even when we mess up or fall into the same problems over and over and over. You do not give up and you do not abandon, but instead you walk faithfully beside us and encourage us in your truth. Father, help us to be a gentle people. a people who are able to respond to the sinners around us in the same way. Help us to check our speech. Help us to find creative and helpful ways of dealing with our anger rather than simply lashing out. Help us learn to have the humility to know that we're not always right and other people are not always wrong. Give us listening ears and soft hearts, and help us, Lord, to be gentle in speech and in action with all those you bring across our path this week. It's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I want to say thank you again for listening. Join us next week as we kind of wrap up and finish the series looking at the fruit of self-control. And as always, if you have questions or you want to process something that you've heard, please don't be afraid to reach out to me. And if you have found this to be valuable, please continue to share the podcast through email or social media as we continue to reach out and find ways to connect others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next week.